Hope you're all enjoying your Monday morning so far. Beautiful clear skies and a fairly pleasant temperature for this time of year, I must say. Come to think, we haven't really seen all that many brutally hot days out of summer so far, as I've referenced throughout the morning. But while we mightn't have had to sweat through a run of 40-degree scorches like you might ordinarily expect by this time of year, the Bureau of Meteorology's annual climate statement for 2020 released last week reported the last 12 and a bit months have been the fourth hottest on record. Joining us now to discuss the report and what it might look at going forward is Dr. Blair Truen, Senior Climatologist for the Bureau of Meteorology. Good morning, Blair. Thanks for joining the Daily.
Good morning.
Now, it's a fairly extensive statement, though luckily there is a pretty handy overview available online to break down the key points of the last year. As far as you were concerned, Blair, what are the main or most significant takeaways from the statement?
Yeah, so obviously, many people would remember 2019 as an exceptional year, both for its heat and for its dryness. It was the warmest year on record for Australia, and it was the driest year on record for Australia and also for New South Wales state. So 2020 wasn't quite as extreme as that. We saw rainfall return to close to average nationally and slightly above average in New South Wales, particularly in the eastern half. In fact, Sydney had its wettest year since 1998. And temperatures nationally, although they were still well above average, they were lower than 2019. So nationally, we came in 1.15 degrees above the long-term average, which is the fourth warmest on record. New South Wales was actually a bit less than that. It was 0.91 of a degree above the long-term average, and that came in 15th warmest out of the year since 1910, so not quite as extreme a year last year.
How much do we read into the national mean temperature increasing by just over 1 degree? Is 1 degree here, 1 degree there expected year by year? Or, look, not to dance around it, is it reflective of global warming or global rising temperatures?
Yeah, it's definitely consistent with the longer-term warming trend we see. And, in 2019, the seasonal weather patterns were lined up, were favourable for a warm year, even if there was no such year thing as global warming. It probably still would have been a significantly above average year, whatever patterns were. But, 2020, we've come in with significantly above average numbers, even without influences such as El Niño or the Indian Ocean pushing things higher. So that gives you some idea of, what level of background warming we're seeing in Australia, both in Australia and globally now.
Did anything in particular stick out for Sydney or eastern New South Wales from the last 12 months?
Yeah, well, obviously the breakdown of the really dry conditions, which we saw culminating in the later part of 2019. So, there was very heavy rain along much of the coast in February, which not only put an end to the remaining bushfires, but also brought some flooding. The Hawkesbury reached its highest level since 1992. So it was a reasonably significant flood. And then December, probably more a northern New South Wales and southern Queensland event. Again, we had very heavy coastal rain and also some quite significant beach erosion, by Byron Bay being the highest profile. But there were plenty of other places where we saw elevated sea levels and beach erosion as well.
So going from extremely dry temperatures, extremely hot and dry temperatures to extremely wet so quickly, is that a concern at all?
Well, obviously any type of extreme has the potential to have impact, and whether it's extreme heat and drought or extreme high rainfall, it's part of part of Australia's history is that we do sometimes see abrupt transitions from one to the other, this year's another example of that.
But is that that sort of turbulence? Is that concerning in terms of how global warming is rapidly advancing at present? Is that an indicator?
Yeah, well, it depends a lot on what type of extreme you're looking at. So certainly with warming temperatures, we have a pretty clear tendency towards more extreme heat and more heat waves. And it's interesting almost how quick how quickly people's expectations change. You mentioned in your intro the lack of 40-degree days this summer, but you don't have to go back that far to find years when even in Western Sydney, it was by no means unknown to go through a summer without a 40-degree day. But we've had, Richmond, for example, has had days over 45 in each of the last 4 years. So it's, so we've seen a lot of that really extreme heat in recent years that had not been particularly normal up till then. But then there are other types of extremes, such as extreme high rainfall. Now, we do have physical reasons to expect that with global warming we'll see more extreme high rainfalls, and there are certainly some parts of the world where we do see evidence of that in the observations as well. In Australia, generally speaking, the evidence around extreme high rainfalls is a bit patchier to date, but because they are fairly rare events, you do need a pretty strong signal and a lot of data to be able to detect a clear evidence of change. And in Australia, we probably don't have that as yet.
September saw La Nina being declared. As concisely as you can, what exactly are La Nina and El Nino as phenomena or weather patterns, and how has the shift taken effect in the last 5 months?
Yeah, well, both El Nino and La Nina relate to what the ocean is doing in the central and eastern equatorial Pacific. And they're effectively opposite sides of the same system. So when you have an El Nino, you have unusually warm ocean waters in the central and eastern Pacific, and that tends to lead to weaker easterly winds through the tropics. And we're speaking very broadly here, but it also tends to mean less moisture into eastern Australia, whereas La Nina is the reverse. You have unusually cool waters in the eastern and central Pacific. You have stronger easterlies through the tropics, and you tend to get more moisture into eastern Australia. That's so generally speaking, during La Nina years, you do see above average rainfall through much of Australia. Not always as dramatic as it was in the summer of 2010-11, which was the last time we had a significant La Nina, but it does significantly substantially increase the odds of above average rainfall, and we've seen a bit of that in the last few weeks.
Lastly, Dr. Blair Trewin, what might we expect from 2021?
Yeah, well, we expect that La Nina conditions will be in place through the early months of the year. After then, it's a little bit too soon to tell. So the odds would be shifted in favour of above average rainfall being more likely in much of eastern Australia through the early months of the year. The La Nina rainfall relationship actually is a bit more consistent inland than it is on the coast. That look does mean wet on the coast as well. Beyond that, less obvious what's likely to happen to rainfall, but with the long-term warming trends we see, it would be a significant surprise if we didn't see another warmer than average year this year, even with La Nina conditions in place at the start.
So that could be a concern for bushfires the following summer.
Yeah, well, that depends on a lot of factors, and a large part of that is how dry things are in the winter and spring, which is a bit too. Mm. Yeah, it'd be too soon to be clear about that. Another factor there also is that, perhaps more inland, is that, with the very wetter than average conditions, we're likely to see more grass growth than usual in inland areas. And, there is a bit of a history of, sometimes you get, very big grass fires in western New South Wales the summer after a La Nina, and some of the most extensive fires in inland New South Wales history happened in late 1974 after a very wet summer in 1973-74. So that's something we definitely be watching.
Dr. Blair Trewin, thank you so much for joining us this morning on The Daily.
Okay, thanks.
That was Dr. Blair Truen, Senior Climatologist from the Bureau of Meteorology, discussing the annual climate statement for 2020 released last Friday. Its main points and what we might expect out of the remainder for 2021, I would give it a read. It's got a great summary to it, so it's not too... look, if you're not exactly a climatologist, I definitely think this sort of information is quite accessible, and I think it's something that we should all be across.